Bibles to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14, in just a few moments, we'll begin our study from that text. So good to see you tonight. I know it's been a rather stormy and weary day, and it's been somewhat challenging for many, I'm sure, to get here with the weather. It certainly is encouraging that you're here tonight. It's encouragement to me. I appreciate that so much. I'm reminded of the words that Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 as we think about our subject tonight, and Edwin quoted that passage where he says, "So we are always of good courage. We know that while we are at home in the body, we're away from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight." Walk by faith, not by sight. Maybe difficult to understand how exactly it is that I'm supposed to walk by faith. How do I make that happen in my life? How do I take steps that show that I am trusting in God and serving Him and trusting His guidance and even His deliverance at times? I want to share with us a story tonight that's one of the most memorable walks that I think may display some characteristics of us if we're going to walk by faith. And that story is found in Matthew chapter 14. The story of Peter walking on the water. Now, I know as a child, I was taught, probably like you, that this story was about Jesus walking on the water. And while Jesus did, I have to admit that for a moment, that's not all that remarkable, is it? Is it really remarkable that Jesus, who could calm the winds and calm the storms, could walk upon the sea? Does that really say anything to you other than He is God? And I think we understand that. Not to lessen that. What was more amazing to me out of this story is that Peter himself did the same thing. Walked on the water. Was willing to risk and to overcome fear and to step out in faith as he walked with Christ that one evening. I want to remind us as we begin of the story that is found here in Matthew chapter 14. Let's read it first, and then we'll come back and kind of discuss some of the details. Starting in verse 22, "Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountains by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way away from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, 'It is a ghost.' They cried out in fear, but immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, 'Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid.' Peter answered him, 'Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water.' He said, 'Come.' So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. When he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, 'Lord, save me.' Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, 'O you of little faith, why did you doubt?' When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, 'Truly you are the Son of God.'" It's just earlier in this day that Jesus has already tried to escape the crowds in verse 13. It is at this time that Jesus has found out about the beheading of John and is trying to go and to have some time alone. And what happens is he tries at the beginning of this chapter to escape the crowds, that the multitudes find out where he's going and they meet him there. And so Jesus, being compelled, speaks to them. It's at this scene where he feeds the 5,000 by the seaside. And then he sends his disciples, the 12, away as he remains behind to pray. A practice that is really not all that unusual. I mean, if you think about it, Jesus often stays behind or goes off to a mountain or goes off alone to pray. He does that quite often. So he sends them on a boat and he stays behind to pray to God. And the Sea of Galilee is no unfamiliar place, at least not for four of these men. That's where they made their livelihood as fishermen. But there was something different that night, we read in verse 24. A major storm has come in to the sea. Not a minor squall, but a major storm. The New American Standard says that the boat was battered by the waves. I like the way that says that. Battered by the waves. That tells us of the fierceness of it. What is amazing is that it seems that is all that these men can do to keep this boat upright. We're talking about professional fishermen. There's little doubt, in my mind at least, that these men had been in storms before, but not like this storm. I'm certain it's probably of the same magnitude of the one where Jesus is asleep, and they came and said, "Don't you care that we're perishing?" They're in fear for their life. And it's about that time that the cries could be heard from this boat. "Look, there's a ghost." Maybe you've read this before and thought to yourself, you know, I don't know what their problem is. They've been with Jesus for a while. They ought to know it was Jesus. We know it's Jesus. But I have to tell you that if you're on the sea in the middle of the storm and you see the shadowy outline or figure of a man walking, you're probably going to think the same thing they did. This is a ghost. And Jesus cries out and tells them, No, it's not a ghost. It's me." Have you ever wondered what Jesus was doing? Why is he walking on the water? It should be, this is about 3:00 in the morning, in the middle of a storm. What in the world is the Son of God doing walking on the water? Is he racing them to the other side? Is this some kind of David Copperfield style magic trick? What's the purpose of all of this? In Mark 6 and verse 48, there's a little detail that is given to us that's pretty interesting. And it says there in verse 48 that when he saw they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them, and about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. He meant to pass them by. Jesus wasn't walking to the boat. He's walking to the other side. What was the purpose of passing by them? There are some defining moments in Scripture where God appears to man in such a way that man understands that God has appeared. Often that is called a passing by. In Exodus 34, in the first 6 verses, God puts Moses in the cleft of the rock and passes by him. Interesting language, isn't it? And in 1 Kings 19, he tells in verse 11 Elijah to stand on the mountain while the Lord passed by him. There are times in Scripture where God passes by man to reveal himself to man. I think this is one of those times. I think that in some ways, this is one of those times that when it comes to having faith that Jesus is the Son of God and God, that at this moment, in some ways, faith could become sight. Because men don't walk on the water. Not under normal circumstances. Certainly not in a storm at 3:00 in the morning. But God can. In each of those cases, God is grabbing the attention of His audience to remind them of who He is in a way they will never forget. And whether that's in the wind or the fire or the quake or a burning bush on Sinai or walking on the Sea of Galilee, it is hard to forget that you have experienced the divine deity, God. Jesus passed or would have passed them by. And it's in this scene that it's interesting in verse 27 that out of 12 men in the boat, there is one of them who decides it's time to do something different. Peter says, "Lord, if that's you, tell me to come to you." I like Peter. He's one of my favorite characters. I'll tell you why that is. Peter had the ability sometimes to do some remarkable things, didn't he? And there were some times that Peter had the ability to do some incredibly foolish things as well. I identify with that. If you don't believe me, I'll give you my wife's cell phone number and she'll tell you that's true. There are times that in my life I do some things, say some things, and I think just immediately, why in the world did I do that? Here Peter does something I think that's remarkable. He decides it's time to walk by faith and not by sight. Lord, if that's you, if you have the ability to do that, then you give me the ability to do that. You tell me to come to you. And then Jesus says, come. Let me share with you some lessons we learn about walking by faith from this story. The first of those is, if I'm going to walk by faith, then I've got to get out of the boat. There are some scenes that cannot be captured on canvas. You ever thought about that? The Last Supper, which was made even more famous by the Da Vinci Code. And Da Vinci was a great artist, but when I see that picture, I can't help but think of the guy who said about the story of the Last Supper, the last thing said there before that was done was, if you want to be in the picture, you got to get on this side of the table. Only two of you got that. When you see that, you realize they're all on the same side of the table, right? I mean, the reality is that does a disservice to what happened in that upper room. Do you think that they all sat on the same side of the table? Well, there's no chance that that happened. And yet I think, like that scene, this scene cannot be captured on canvas very well. I don't know if you've ever looked at some of the pictures of supposedly somebody walking on the water, but it's always a pretty calm-looking sea with the moonlight showing you the outline, That's not the picture at all, is it? There is a storm. There are waves crashing and battering against the boat. There is wind. There is enough rain and wind and storm that I doubt there's much of a moonlight. And in this scene, with this violence of the wind and the waves almost tipping over this boat, in the middle of this scene, what we see is this, Lord, if it's you, command me to come to you on the water. Jesus says, come. I wonder what went through Peter's mind at that point. I mean, have you ever asked somebody the question where you hope they'll say no? You know, like your mother-in-law calls and says, can I come visit this weekend? Well, you know, we got a lot of stuff going on. Do you really want to be here? You know, sometimes you ask those questions hoping somebody will say no. Well, Lord, come. Well, come. Now you got a choice. Hey, I can stay in this boat and I know, as bad as it is, the boat's not going anywhere, I'll be safe. Or I can get out of the boat and I can walk on the water. Common sense tells me if I get out of the boat and walk on the water, what's going to happen? I'm going to sink like a rock. If I try to walk on the water in a calm period of the sea, I'm going to sink. Now I'm going to go out in the middle of a storm, in the middle of the night, and I'm going to walk on the water? And yet you realize that now God has invited you to the adventure of a lifetime. I just wonder how many times Peter's family and grandchildren might have heard this story. You know, we tell stories about things we've done all this time that I caught this fish, or I shot this buck, or I did this or did that. I got to tell you, this is the kind of story Peter would have handed down if a couple of generations, don't you think? Well, this one night, I walked on the water with the Son of God. But in order for that to happen, he had to get out of the boat. If you want to walk on the water, you have to get out of the boat. And I will tell you that I think inside of all of us, there is a voice telling us that there is more to life than just sitting back on the boat. It's comfortable in the boat. We can sit back and we can have a good time and we don't have to risk anything. It doesn't really require that much faith to sit in the boat, does it? And I think sometimes we want to step out in faith, but we're pretty scared to do so. And what I want you to think about tonight is to find your boat. Now, each one of us, I think, has a different boat. It's not the same thing. You might go, well, what's my boat? I don't even own a boat. Well, your boat is whatever you're afraid of losing when you step out in true faith, walking with God. It's what you put your faith and your safety and your security in rather than God Himself. Your boat is the thing you trust in when life gets stormy. You want to find your boat? Listen to your fear. Listen to what it is you're afraid to give up. For some people, it's their vocation. They're afraid to give up their jobs. They will choose their job over everything else because they're afraid to risk that. That's your boat. For some people, it's relationships. Have you ever met somebody who won't obey the gospel because their family doesn't agree the same way? They're not willing to lose those relationships? That's their boat. That circumstance. For some people, the church can be a boat. We get so enriched in who we are and our traditions that we may see something we need to do, but we're too scared to risk the traditions and what we've been doing to step out in true faith. Every one of us have a boat. And every once in a while, the waters get stormy and life gets rocky and there's this challenge. Are we going to get out of the boat and walk and go to God? Or are we going to sit back in the boat and do what's comfortable? I got to tell you, church pews are filled with people sitting in their boat. There are some of you here tonight who you come to every assembly and you're even here on a stormy Monday night of a gospel meeting. You're here when other people aren't. You have all the appearance of being a strong, faithful Christian, and yet there's something in your life that is paralyzing you, that is keeping you from stepping out and walking in faith and actually walking on the water with the Lord. You've got to find that boat and you've got to be willing to leave that boat. You've got to be able to risk when you walk by faith and not by sight. Peter has to get out of the boat, and so he does that. You just see in your mind Peter going over and grabbing the side of the boat, swinging that first leg over, then the second. In my mind, I almost see that he holds on while he takes a few steps, because I got to tell you, it's a little scary. But he left the boat. But the second thing we learn is that if you're going to walk by faith, you're going to have to expect problems. Sometimes we're a little naive and idealistic. We think that, well, as long as I'm a Christian, the Bible says God's going to take care of me and I just won't have any problems. Well, that's not true. In fact, the Bible tells us that because we're Christian, we're going to have problems. That if anything, Satan's going to make life a little bit more difficult because now he's got a little bit more fight on his hands because we're not walking with him anymore. I want you to think about this story. As Peter goes to that boat and to the edge of the boat, don't you know there's 22 eyes that are just fixed on him? There's 11 other guys in that boat that are going, hey, look at this. Because, you know, he had that ability to talk when he shouldn't talk. I can hear them saying, hey, Bartholomew, how far do you think he'll make it? I got 3 feet. Verse 30 tells us something important because as he goes and starts walking on the water, it says that when he saw the wind, let me ask you a question. Did the wind change when Peter left the boat? That was a question, folks. Shake your head this way. No. Did the storm change at all? No. The storm didn't change. The boat didn't change. The water didn't change. Let me tell you what happened is, Peter got away from the side of the boat. He couldn't turn around and touch it anymore. And he thought, you know what? This may be one of the dumbest things I've ever done before. I'm on the middle of a sea with no boat, with a storm. What happened is Peter took his eyes off of the Savior and focused on the storm. He quit looking to Jesus and he looked at the wind. When he saw the wind. When he saw the wind, life is a stormy place. I've been told, and I've observed somewhat, that the older you get, the more stormy you see it as. Not that it necessarily changes, but you are more aware of all the anxieties that you see. Life's a stormy place. It's filled with fears. It's filled with problems. It's filled with risk. In fact, I would tell you that everything in life is risky. Everything in life is risky. You could stay at home in bed to try to protect yourself. And maybe you'd avoid the risk, but that could make you one of the 250,000 people every year who have to go to the emergency room for falling out of their bed. You could draw your blinds completely shut so nobody could see in your house, but you could be one of the 10 people a year who hang themselves in the court of the mini bonds. Hide your money at home. Don't use the bank, certainly not in this economy. Could be one of the thousands of people who have to have treatment for wounds from handling money or even up to hernias. The fact of the matter is everything in life is risky. You can try to avoid risk, and there are still risks in life. As long as we're living, there is a chance something bad is going to happen. And the question is whether or not our fears are going to keep us from walking in faith. We have to expect problems. We have to know that there's a chance something bad can and will happen, but I'm determined to trust in God and keep walking anyway. That's hard. I love sports. One of my favorite sports of all times is baseball. I umpired baseball for 17 years. Loved it. But did you know that the greatest of hitters strike out 2 out of every 3 times? If you hit 1 out of every 3 at-bats, you can get into the Hall of Fame. You get out more than you get a hit. You never, ever get out of the boat. You'll never have to face the problems that come. You'll never have to face the possibility of sinking. You'll never have to face the possibility of failure. But you won't truly be walking by faith. You may be sitting, but you won't be walking. Leads us to the next point, that if you're going to walk by faith and you accept those fears and those failures and those problems as being the price for growth. It says after he saw the wind that he was afraid. He was afraid. And when he became afraid, he began to sink, it goes on to say in verse 30. Our fears keep us from doing things that we should do. Anybody know what the best-selling chair in America is? Lazy Boy. Isn't it amazing they didn't name it Worky Boy? Or even Risky Boy? I mean, the idea is you go home and you sit in that chair and everything is right in life. I tell you, I bought one of those not long after we'd been married, and it was so nice. It was the big and tall edition. They make those for guys like us. Because the little Lazy Boys, they're just a little narrow. They're not real comfortable. And I like that chair so much that I once kicked my father-in-law out of it. Told him to leave the remote when he left. He went out and sat in the car for 2 hours. We're still on speaking terms. You know, we call guys like that to sit there in the chair, and we sit there with the remote in our hand, and we just sit there for hours on end. We have a really neat term for that. We call those people couch potatoes. Don't we? I'll tell you what. At 3 o'clock in the morning on the Sea of Galilee, there were 11 boat potatoes that sat there and did nothing. They sat back and they didn't move. They had the same opportunity, but they sat there in their comfort zone and they did nothing. And I got to tell you, sometimes we have too many pew potatoes. I grew up, my parents used to say, one of the problems with the church is there's 10% of the people doing 90% of the work. How many of you ever heard that? Carl's not raising his hand because he said that. He didn't hear it. The reality is, I'd pick on Carl, he's a good guy, good to see him tonight. The reality is sometimes that's true. Sometimes we just sit back and we're afraid to do anything because we don't want to risk it. Maybe somebody won't like us. I'm not going to go talk to my neighbor about God. What if they reject me? What if they tell me they don't want to hear any of that stuff? What if they think I'm a religious fanatic? I'm not going to go and tell somebody, hey, you know what, I'm not going to participate in that because that's not right, because they might come and reject me for that. So I'll just sit back and say nothing and do nothing, and I'll never get in trouble, and nobody will ever think anything bad about me. I'll just be a pew potato. Let me ask you a question. Did Peter fail? all my life, I have been taught in this story that Peter failed because he sank, didn't he? He started to sink. He almost died. Peter's a failure. Let me tell you who's a bigger failure than Peter. It's the 11 guys who sat there and did nothing. It's the 11 people who had the same opportunity to recognize God, recognize the opportunity to walk by faith, and they said, you know what, I'm okay just sitting right here. Because even after Jesus said, come, you know what, I think if I was Andrew, I might have said, hey Lord, can I come too? Didn't do that, did he? Nor did James, or John, or Judas, or anybody else that was on that boat. They sat there. Whether or not Peter was a failure may depend on your definition of a failure. Winston Churchill is viewed as a great leader. He was once asked in an interview what prepared him to take the risk that so many people had called political suicide by going and standing up to Adolf Hitler. And he said, what prepared me were the lessons I learned when I repeated a year in school. And this reporter said, you mean you failed a year of grade school? And Churchill answered indignantly, I never failed anything in life. I was given a second opportunity to get it right. We laugh, but I got to tell you, I love that explanation. You know why? Failure is not an event. It's just the judgment about an event. Did Peter fail? Well, his faith wavered. He sank. He cried out to the Lord. And it's easy to be critical of him. But you realize only Peter knew the glory of walking on the water? And only Peter knew what it felt like to be lifted from the water by the Son of God that night. Only he knew what it was like to attempt to do something he couldn't do by himself. To walk by faith. Can you imagine the euphoria of being empowered by God to do something so remarkable? So amazing? He experienced something that no one else has ever experienced. I don't call that a failure. He walked by faith. Because of that, he has an opportunity to grow. Verse 31, very important passage. Because it is there that those words that Jesus says, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? I don't know if you've thought about it, but I always kind of thought, well, you know, when Jesus said that, he kind of said that really scolding, really loud. So all the people in the boat, you know, all those 11 guys, they're sitting there going, I told you. Did you hear what Jesus just said about him? But you know what? Let me remind you of some things. Jesus is far enough away, they didn't know what he looked like. They didn't know who he was. They thought he was a ghost. And he told Peter to come to him. Peter's far enough from the boat in the middle of a storm. He can't grab the boat to be saved. He grabs the hand of Jesus. I don't think anybody heard this statement except for Peter. And I don't think it's the scolding, harassing, embarrassing, humiliating statement sometimes we think it is. I think it actually is probably a very tender, very disappointed statement by Jesus. Peter, where's your faith? Why did you doubt me? Reality is, I think Peter grew from that experience. What does Peter say two chapters later when Jesus says, who do men say that I am? And he says, some say Elijah, some say Isaiah. Who do you say I am? You're Jesus, the Son of God. I think Peter knew partially who Jesus was because of that night when he had little faith? You think he learned anything? You see, when we fail, we have the opportunity to grow. Guys, I tell you what, we need to get out of our boats and we need to walk by faith. Let me give you a couple of practical applications of that. Dads, let me tell you what that means as a spiritual leader. It means you're willing to be inconvenienced in life for your kids to raise them spiritually. It means that you're going to do things to serve God so that you can show your family what it means to walk by faith. It means there's going to be some times where you make some decisions where you trust God because it's the right thing to do, but you're scared about it, so you have to depend on prayer. And you teach your children, the only way we're going to get through this is God's going to deliver us. That's walking by faith. That's teaching your children what it means to totally and completely lead your family and be godly. I'm going to tell you what we need is dads to get up off the couch and turn off ESPN and be the man of the house and be a spiritual leader. Walk by faith. And moms, we need you as well to get out of the boats and be the matriarch of faith of your home. Teach your children as well. Help them focus on what really matters. We need elders and churches to do the same thing, to challenge us to get out of our boats, to stand up and say, we've got work to do. We're not just here to maintain the status quo. We've got things that God expects out of us. One of the blessings of where I'm at, and I think here as well from what I know through Edwin, is the vision of good leadership that says, hey, here's where we're going. Let's get out of the boat. Let's work. Let's push forward. You know what? Are there times where you're scared to do that? Well, sure. First year that we set goals, our elders came and said, okay, we have a goal. We're going to have 12 baptisms. And I said, okay, we'll try. We had 15. So the next year they get the beat and they go, you know what? We're going to raise that goal. So wait a minute, guys. Now that's not going to happen all the time. Well, our goal is 15 baptisms this year. We had 24. The next year, I didn't let them raise it. Oh, they chose not to. I don't have any power over that. And the reality is, I'm going to tell you, it's kind of scary to set those kind of goals, to say, we're going to walk out by faith. We're going to do this. But you know what was amazing? We set that goal. We walked by faith. You know what started happening? We had people that were teaching their neighbor and bringing family members. And we have elders who are teaching people, and they were a part of the process. And it wasn't me. People go, how did y'all do that? I didn't do it. It's all these people out here. We had one lady walks up to me, been coming for about 3 weeks, and she says, I need to talk to you about my baptism. Okay, let's talk about it. I was baptized as an infant. I don't think that's right. I ought to be able to believe and do that myself, make that choice. I said, you're right. When do you want to do it? She goes, right now. I got to tell you, it was the easiest Bible study I've ever had in my life. Do you know what? When you do things like that and you set goals and you walk by faith and you pray about it and you have the vision to set that out there, you know what happens? You get to walk on the water. Are you always going to be successful? No. But you will be some of the time because you're willing to risk it. Sir Edmund Hillary climbed Mount Everest. We know that. What many don't know is how many times he tried to climb Mount Everest and failed. And the story is told that one time after failing, he looked up from the bottom of Mount Everest and he shook his fist at the mountain. He said, I will defeat you yet because you're as big as you're going to get and I'm growing like that. We're going to fail sometimes? Sure. But if we grow from those failures, they're not really failures, are they? Final point. If you want to walk by faith, you've got to connect with God. I think that's what's really going on in the water. Maybe I'm wrong. We know that Peter and Jesus had a special relationship. He's a part of that inner circle. We see him at the garden, the Mount of Transfiguration. We see in John 21 this private conversation. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. We see this special relationship that goes back and forth. I don't know that it's because of this evening, but I think you can't say that this evening didn't have anything to do with it. I think that this kind of relationship is seen, that Peter's willing to trust Jesus enough to step out of the boat to begin with. Nobody else was willing to do that. Not even John, the disciple whom Jesus loved. It's amazing. Can I tell you that the Lord is looking for people to get out of the boat and walk by faith tonight? He's looking for people to trust Him. We have been called through the Word to do things that are risky, to look different from the world, to walk differently, to talk to people about God, to stand up to people who think they're religious and try to teach them and show them that they can be more right with God, to take them and show them how to walk with God in the way that we're trying to walk with God. We've been called to do that. That's not always easy. It's risky. You may lose relationships. You may lose things that are valuable to you in the process, friendships, family members. That's what we've been asked to do. And Jesus is still wanting us to do that. He's wanting us to walk by faith, to trust Him. When He says that if we'll seek first the rule of Him in our life, He'll provide everything else, that's walking by faith. He wants us to get out of the boat. You might go, well, why would I risk that? Well, I tell you, it's the only way to true faith. The only way to have true faith is to get out of the boat. It's the only way you develop that kind of faith. The only way you grow. I'll also tell you, it's the only alternative to boredom and stagnation, I think, spiritually. I think if all you ever do is sit and do what you've always done, guess what's going to happen? You're going to become bored with serving God. But I tell you why else we need to get out of the boat and why we need to risk it is because that's where Jesus is at. In this story, Jesus isn't in the boat, is He? It's only when you leave the comfortable confines of the vessel here on the sea and you get out and you risk your life that you walk with God in this way. You think about that. Let me ask you, when is the last time that you stepped out of your comfort zone in true trusting faith, knowing that the only way you were going to be successful in what you were going to do is if God helped you, that you were completely dependent on prayer? When's the last time you did that? I want to do that with my life. I want the stories of my life and the legacy I hand down to my children and my grandchildren. I don't want it to be about fish I caught or a hit I had in Little League or something like that. I want it to be about things to do with faith. You ever hear some of these guys sit down and tell the stories of 40 and 50 years ago, these tent meetings where they baptized 50 people? Wouldn't you love to be able to hand out stories like that to your kids, your grandkids? When you talk about that, you know what people tell me? Well, that just doesn't happen anymore. I don't guess we're walking by faith, are we? We serve a God that tells us that our faith can move mountains. And that, believe it or not, if we have faith like Joshua, we could shout, "Sun, stand still," and it would happen. You know what really discourages me is sometimes I've preached that about the sun standing still, and people are real quick to tell me, that just doesn't happen today. You know why it doesn't happen today? Because we don't have the faith to think God can do it. God's not changed. God has not changed. We have changed. We don't believe He has the ability anymore. We don't believe in that. Now, I'm not testing you to say tomorrow you need to go out and shout to the heavens to see if He'll make the sun stand still. I'm telling you to put your faith into practice in practical ways in your life, to believe God can do things. Get out of your boat. Trust in God's providence and guidance. Walk with Him. Don't make excuses. Don't look at the storm. Don't get comfortable. Don't laugh at the other people who get out of the boat and fail. Get out of the boat and walk with God. Trust Him. Let me promise you two things from this story if you're willing to do it. The first of those is, I guarantee you, if you get out of the boat, there will be some times where you begin to sink. That's not very encouraging, is it? You're telling me in your conclusion, one of the things that you say is that there are going to be times where I'm going to fail. Well, what I'm telling you is you're going to begin to sink. And the great part about that is Jesus is always there to lift you up. You just have to take His hand. That's not failure. That's deliverance. And secondly, Secondly, if you step out in true faith, every once in a while, you'll walk on the water. You accomplish things. At the end of that, you sit back and you go, boy, I just would not have believed this if you told me. There's no way I would have thought this could ever happen. With God, all things are possible. I believe Paul said that he is able to do exceedingly and abundantly more than what we can even ask or think. Seems like it's not God's fault when we don't walk by faith. It's ours. I'd encourage you to get out of your boat tonight. Walk with God. Trust Him. Serve Him. Walk by faith, not by sight. Maybe you're here and you're not a child of God. Tonight you can become one. Maybe you have a boat, if you will, that's keeping you from obeying the gospel. It could be any number of things that you're scared. Maybe scared of losing relationships or telling someone else they're wrong. Or it could be scared that I've had some people who are afraid that now I have to live a certain way. Or I have to do certain things. I got to tell you, you need to quit being afraid of all of that. You need to step out of that boat, get out of that place that you're afraid to lose, and you need to obey the gospel tonight. Step out in faith in just a few moments, saying that you believe in Jesus Christ and who He is. Being willing to repent of the things you've done and to live for Him and walk with Him, confessing that He is the Son of God, just like Peter did in Matthew 16. Be baptized, immersed, washing away your sins, rising up out of the water, a new living creature, walking a new way, walking by faith and not by sight. You need to put on Christ tonight through the baptism of the New Testament, obedient to His gospel. We'd encourage you to do it now while we stand and while we sing.